Hello, welcome to Angry Little Welshman and Friends. This is a trigger warning that this covers very sensitive topics, it has very sweary language, and also has real emotions. So please bear this in mind when listening. Enjoy!
Just punch him back.
Stop acting like a girl. And I'm not afraid. I don't need money, man. I don't even need a future. You know, I can poke my eyes out. At least I know that I was doing something real for 2 or 3 seconds, you know? It's all about fear. I'm not afraid anymore, man. Fuck it!
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Angry Little Welshman and Friends. How are you all? It's been a while since I've done one of these. It became a bit overwhelming for me. And I had to take a step back. I'm hoping to get these out a bit more regular now. This one in particular is incredibly long overdue. Lots of things going on, and I've also got a lovely conversation to share with you that was actually recorded back in January 2022 with Bearded Twat, or Phil as he's actually known, and we'll elaborate a bit more on that. But yeah, how's everyone's year been? 6 months in, we're halfway there, everyone. It's been a weird one, hasn't it? We've got Boris Johnson being a massive bell end, Putin being a massive bell end, and America being massive bell ends in general, the whole country, taking away women's rights. It's a hard time to be alive with those things and also having no money. God, that sounds depressing, doesn't it? Fuck me. So my advice to you is, if those things are annoying you, do something small that might help others and yourself as well in that. But I've been all right. I'm plodding along. Something I've been doing a lot of conversations about recently is around male body image. As you've probably seen through socials and other bits, like up and downs with my body falling into its impending doom that is death, and not letting me run and do other things as much. But I've been doing a lot more of it, but I'm still incredibly body conscious. I posted something the other week about, well, just celebrating my body, and I had a conversation with an organization called Man Up earlier this week, which will come out on their pages soon, and I'll attach it to the next podcast about this. I'm basically just saying, if you go on social media and look at hashtag men's mental health, there's a lot of good stuff on there, but there's a lot of crap as well. There's a lot of massively buff people, the male looking identifying human beings, we're just putting that on there as a trope to get numbers and people looking. And for me, it's incredibly triggering as someone who does actually have a diagnosis of depression and anxiety and is constantly battling the my subconscious mind's idea of what I think the public thinks I should look like, and my belly, how that looks. But that's what I see. You know, I might be looking at men's mental health to try and get some support and inspiration, shall we say, that, you know, we can do good. But it's not always there. Yeah, it's been really, like, it's all these fucking pictures, and I've been challenging them, which I know doesn't really ever help anything, but I've just been putting little comments on there to provoke and ask why this has got anything to do with mental health. So, but obviously, the counter-argument would be that if going to the gym, doing exercise, is good, helps your mental health, and it, for me, that is hugely beneficial, it does help my mental health, then that's fair enough. But they don't talk about mental health, they just chuck it on there. And it's just, you know, a picture of them. Yeah, I did abs day today, and I'm ripped. And that's my 6-hour-a-day routine for every day of the week. Rest on Sundays, of course, but I do, you know, another 6 hours then for the rest of the week. 36 hours in total. Yeah, and it just gets me a bit angry, to be honest. So my little bit of doing something about it, it's only spending a little amount of energy in just questioning the toxic people using hashtag men's mental health. That's been something that's bothering me of late, is my weight. I talk a big game, you know, do as I say, not as I do. I do promote healthy acceptance of our bodies and the shapes and forms it takes as we go through life. But at the same time, then, you know, behind closed doors, well, not always behind closed doors, I do talk about this publicly, I fluctuate. That particular day I took that photo and posted it on Instagram, I was in a very good place, and I had just seen another one of those photos, which pissed me off. So I thought, fuck it, I'm going to put a picture of me and my sexy body on there. If only you could touch this, eh? But I was okay with that. I was okay with my body at that moment. But I do go through ups and downs, and it's a difficult one for me to manage, I think. But what else? So I've been doing some work with people as well in schools and stuff, which has been really good work for me, working on toxic masculinity, ironically, and looking at healthy relationships, which has been going well. But yeah, been all right. Bit tired, actually. My depression and my anxiety has been fairly good, actually, and I'm struggling to fill this bit with loads of content. So what I might do is let's just dive in, shall we, into the main part of the show, the and friends bit, as I like to call it. So as mentioned earlier, I was lucky enough back earlier in the year, and I'll tag him in a few of the posts, to meet up with blogger Phil, aka the Bearded Twat, and it was a really, really fun chat. Phil's a lovely guy to talk to. I highly recommend checking out some of his work, and that in this chat, you know, we have a really sensitive chat about how writing helps his mental health. We talk about some of the work he does supporting people with a diagnosis of autism and how that impacts their mental health. And then we also talked about how maybe he didn't look for help due to his gender and what role that had to play in him finding help with his own mental health. Had a few laughs talking about the frustration of our relationships with our loving family, and also comparing going bald and how and if at all that impacts us, or impacted us when we were growing up, when it was happening. So that was an interesting chat and a good laugh. So without further ado, let's go check it out. And I'll see you on the other side. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome to the Anne Friends bit of the Angry Little Welshman and Friends podcast. Today, I have the pleasure of being joined by Phil, aka the Bearded Twat. Phil, do I call you Phil, Bearded Twat?
Phil is fine.
Phil is fine. Okay, brilliant. Welcome, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm good, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. How's the start to your year been?
Been all right.
Just been all right.
New job, getting on with life.
Yeah, good stuff. So, welcome to the podcast. And just so for those who are listening, can you maybe introduce yourself and kind of tell the listeners what you do, or maybe why, more appropriately, why you're on this podcast in relation to your Instagram and things like that?
So I am Phil. I do a monthly blog called the Bearded Twat, as you can see. I was trying to think of a decent name, and as you can see, I have a beard, and I don't know. I just thought it'd be funny to call myself a twat. I have like mental health, not problems, things myself of depression, anxiety. So obviously for the mental health side, that is why I started my blog, and I wanted to try and help and sort of share my experiences and strange thoughts of how things work, and hopefully that will hopefully help people. And it's sort of, it's like a therapy session for myself, like a self-therapy, like writing my ramblings. And as you can, sometimes my spelling and everything disappears, but that's because I'm probably getting quite passionate about it.
No, that makes total sense.
And I've started a new job, which is going down the more, is a support worker for mental health young people. And I've got lots of experience supporting like autistic people and stuff, which is obviously helping them support with their sort of mental health struggles.
Amazing. So brilliant, Phil. Thank you so much for joining us. So yes, as you say, you've got a blog, and you've got an Instagram and a Twitter under the Bearded Twat. You briefly touched on though that although you're doing it to, I guess, raise a bit of awareness and you said that you found writing quite therapeutic in a way. Do you find that quite a cathartic means?
Yeah.
Kind of like yourself.
Yeah, I find it quite helpful because I can it makes me sort of, it sounds bad, but really think about the thing and sort of, I don't know if I always succeed, but I always try and do sort of a balance of like an outside sort of view, sort of not critical of myself, but sort of express my learnings from it. Like, is it something that I need to change or just accept? Is it an internal issue or is it an external issue?
Brilliant. So, of course, writing can be such a cathartic way of helping your mental health, and things like journaling and that type of stuff. Mm. You mentioned just to touch on your mental health, as you know, it is the main topic of the conversation. Thank you for sharing already a tiny bit about that in yourself. Do you mind sharing a bit more, maybe about your how you found out, I guess, about some of your mental health difficulties, or what do you have any specific recall any specific kind of moments where you felt or think things changed, if they were?
Obviously, like years and years ago when I was 11, my brother died, and obviously that's a bit of a bummer, especially at a certain age and stuff, like young age, and it was just before Christmas. But I think it was sort of when I got to sort of college age, so like 17, 18, I just sort of, because obviously before that I was always sort of quite, I've always been sort of like an outsider, like not the popular child. And sort of, I got bullied a lot as a child for being fat, being rubbish at most things, sort of just varying degrees or just because they feel like it. And then sort of when I was in college, I sort of started seeing sort of the sort of how, it sounds bad, but how everyone was happy a lot. And yeah. I was a bit like, oh, this is a bit crap. But I kind of thought, okay, maybe it's just this is what people feel like, this is the normal. And then I went through college and then uni. And then when I started working, I got this group of friends and stuff, and I just sort of, someone made the comment about saying, can it, like through work, stuff was getting worse and worse. So I finally started Googling how I felt, because Dr. Google is so helpful.
Deep, deep.
It was one of the rare times that death wasn't the answer. I find if you Google any symptom, death sometimes gets in there somehow.
You'll eventually die from it at some point.
And then I was sort of started realizing sort of like, depression clearly was a thing. And then I went to the doctors and they actually diagnosed me with social anxiety disorder, which was a bit of a curveball. So I looked that up.
Yeah, of course.
And stuff. And then sort of I found different therapies and stuff that I did. And then sort of through different therapies, I discovered that actually it's not just sort of social interactions and stuff that makes me anxious and stuff. And then I did a lot of, I went through the denial phase, and which didn't help, that actually made myself worse. Realized that I had depression that went along with it. Doctors, more therapy. And then sort of, it was only in sort of late, sort of as years went by, that I actually started researching and looking up, going through different, there's a company called the Recovery College that does a lot of therapy courses and stuff.
Yeah.
And I actually thought, actually, I want to know what sort of anxiety I have, because it might help. And I found out that I've got high functioning anxiety.
Yeah.
Which kind of, I looked it up and I did a lot of TED Talks. Well, I did. I watched a lot of TED Talks. I didn't do them. And I was like, actually, that fits me perfectly. And then I was sort of, sounds bad, I finally actually got all the bits together of all the therapies and like courses I've done. And I kind of was like, well, that bit works really well for me and that bit, but that bit doesn't. So I kind of sculpted my own sort of method and madness behind it. And then through different jobs, I was talking to a former friend now about it. And he's like, oh, you've got all this knowledge and stuff, and you're actually really helpful talking to you about stuff because it's relevant. You should actually share it and stuff. And I was like, well, I've actually always wanted to do a blog. And I went through probably maybe a year of doing like a journal of everything that really pissed me off. And I was like, that's when I started doing the blog. And then obviously I was like, I actually need people to look. I actually, with all the statistics, I was like, I actually want people to look at it now.
Yeah.
And that's when I went on to Instagram, where I obviously came across, well, you came across me because of the tag name I took.
Yeah.
And then I went on to Facebook as well. And then I was like, Twitter seems to be where all the fun is. So after God knows how many years of Twitter being alive, I decided to go on it.
Thank you for sharing that. And that story of tragedy and discovery that you've been on, sounds like it's been a long journey.
Yeah, it's been very long.
Do you mind me asking, I guess, well, two things, I guess. One, initially, so you have this tragedy happens when you're 11 years old, and you go through school, and it sounded like you had a tough time in school and things, and you went through a bit of denial, you said, about your mental health kind of status. Do you mind me asking, as is a topic of this podcast, you know, how much do you think being a man had to do with any of that, maybe denial, or did you feel, just because you are a man, and I'm doing air quotes for those who can't see, you know, did that make you not want to look for help that much initially when you were younger?
I think being a man sort of probably was a lot to do with it, because there's a sort of the old phrase that everyone loves of man up, sort of I'll be a man, sort of grow some balls, sort of all these things about basically keep your emotions to yourself. And it's stuff like that. And sort of because I didn't have a consistent strong friendship group, I don't think I really ever knew that it was if it was weird, well, not weird, but sort of different, not normal. And sort of just, I don't know, I think I just never really acknowledged how I felt.
Yeah, which is a very male thing to do. It's kind of like, I'll just keep going, it's fine.
There's no role models for it, though, is there?
No. Well, I mean, there definitely weren't, not, I don't know how old you are, but I guess, you know, there definitely weren't 10 years ago even. And so it does seem to be a movement happening now, which is great to see. The other thing I wanted to ask you mentioned you wrote in your journal about lots of things that pissed you off, because the other thing we talk about on this podcast is anger. Do you have any highlights or any things in particular from your journal that you can share with us that really pissed you off?
Oh, it could be anything from, I remember it was about when I was at uni, so it could have been how I lost like a bit of coursework or something, or it could be down to sort of disagreeing about, with my mum about the length of the dog's hair could be, sort of thing. It like it varying lengths depending on day.
Yeah, was I guess so I've been, but so we're both bald, so we can talk about this without any kind of persecution. But I was bald, skinhead, if you will, from the age of like 21 or something. Was the dog's hair thing to do anything to do with you? Did you not have hair at the time and you wanted the dog to match? Or
well, the dog is technically mine, and okay. I wanted the dog's hair cut because he looked scruffy, and she was saying he's sort of fluffy and cuddly, and I was like, he, and it came went down the long lines of sort of I don't want the RSPCA called on me, but as you can tell with most. Anyone has with their parents, it escalated quickly.
Yeah, family dynamics, right?
But quicker. I think like one of the many things, I think hair loss was one of the many things that went down to Niall. I went through many different hairstyles, which you could argue were just varying versions of comb overs or comb teepees, as I called them.
Yeah, nice.
If I spike it in the middle, it goes thicker. It didn't work. Yeah. And then I went, fuck it, I'm going to shave my head, which didn't go down well with my parents. My mum didn't talk to me for like a day, which was quite funny. It was sort of, the idea was that if I'm going bald, I want to go bald. I want to be bald of my condition. It's not under this high thing genetics. But the funny thing is, the thinner my hair went, the more facial hair I grew. So I like to joke that if I cut my beard off, it'd stick back up at the top.
Right, yeah. It's like it's, instead of it growing up, it's growing down now.
It's actually connected.
Yeah. It's just like all bits of your bodies get swing lower as you get older, don't they?
Someone said, oh, I also told someone once that I did a bulldog clip here. So if I let this go, it'll just shoot back up again.
That would be hilarious if that was the case. So... Talking about, and that reminds me a lot of sort of some of the things I've gotten angry about before. You look back at them and they're so stupid, aren't they? And you think, why was that such a big thing? These mistakes happen. Mm. We lose things. We're only human.
Oh, that winds me up, losing stuff.
But in the moment, we can't reason it, can we? In our heads,
you can't see the wood for the trees.
Yes, exactly. And I guess, is there anything, so you just mentioned losing stuff kind of gets you angry. Is there anything specific that you like about losing things that you think gets you angry? And what do you do, if anything, to kind of, what do you do, if anything, at the moment to try and help manage your anger in those moments? Do you do anything?
I try. I don't know. Depending on what it is, like use an example, I have a jumper that I really love and I've had it for years. And I remember a long time ago, it went missing. And I thought I remembered putting it in the wash. So I naturally, being a lot younger and living at home, my mum loved to do the washing because she's weird. So I naturally thought that she had lost it because I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And we had a bit of an argument. There was a bit of back and forth, and then I was like, fine, I'll have to wear a different jumper, sort of, as because that's what age, that's the real life problems. Those kids in Africa really sympathized with me that day. I went out and saw my friends, and then I went to get something out of the back of my car. There laid the jumper. Clearly it had just fallen out of my bag. And I would like to say I was the good person and apologise and said I found the jumper, but
did you not say anything? You just carried
I never on. Said anything. I hid it somewhere in the house.
I mean, I do that. It's so funny. You're talking about that, like when you're younger. I do that sort of thing now. If I lose something in the house, and I live in a house with my girlfriend, I'll assume she's moved it. You've tidied up, and it's such a kid thing to say as well. You've moved my stuff, and now I can't find it.
When that's the case,
it's in a not coat jumper or something.
When that's the case, it's not tiling. It's just moving stuff that can't be seen. Yeah, I have that with my fiance sometimes, and I do actually apologize for it. I like her more. I do love my mum, but we do grate each other.
Yeah, I think family's there. That's the love that you don't have to choose. You don't get to choose, at least. And so there's an unwritten rule that you usually get over the arguments as well, most of the time.
The problem, I think a lot of it is that my mother doesn't really get sort of my mental health quirkiness.
Mm.
Sort of, I know I don't do, I've always been told I'm weird, and I am. I don't care, like normal.
Whatever normal is, yeah.
Whatever that is. But it's just like, yes, I do things differently because it helps my mental health, but at the end of the day, does it actually matter?
Yeah, it doesn't, does it?
Like, sometimes I'll insult myself before you will, because then at least I was first in. thus my name. But it's sort of, there's a lot of things that I've done and said that I regret, and I know I can be faster temper, but I just expect things to be done right. Now, I don't know. I just...
And by right, you mean by your right, right?
No.
You sound like we have a lot in common in that sense. Yeah.
Well, it's just like an example, because one of the questions, I'll lead into the question myself, is that there was one you said you were going to ask me about something that's annoyed you in the last 2 weeks. I had a bit of a spat with my sister today.
Okay.
About my birthday that's coming up next month. And I wanted to arrange to do stuff and stuff. Yeah. And I wanted to know if she was visiting. So just to say, like, I'm trying to plan the birthday weekend, so I've got it off. Okay. Are you coming down? Because I want to plan around people, which I thought was a very considerate thing to do, and being nice, not just planning stuff. But like, oh, you visited? Oh, I didn't know, because we naturally go to my parents' house because it's bigger and it causes less dog problems.
Right. So rather than assuming that they were visiting you, she thought you were going to your.
Well, no. The issue was, she goes, "Oh, I'll come if you want me," and sort of depending on what you're doing, which really, really. Really annoyed me.
What did you say?
Well, we had a bit of a spat because I'm like, well, I want to plan what I'm doing based on if you're coming, because it's like, you wouldn't, if you're going out for a meal and you knew someone hated Thai food, you'd be like, I'm going to Thai food. Do you want to come?
Yeah.
You base what you're going to do based around what everyone wants. But she being her, never is never wrong. Which is, I'm sure, stemmed from my parents babying her, being very close to half a decade old.
So have you spoke to her since?
I've turned WhatsApp off, and
sounds like it's still quite fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently she is coming.
Like,
message my fiance.
Yeah, after all that. So that's the thing that made you angry in the last 2 weeks or so.
Yes. And wait a minute, to prove that, I'm a doodler when I'm working.
Yeah.
And I was still rather annoyed. And I you probably don't like this word, but as it's just another word for my name, I drew this. Oh,
wait, yeah, I can see it. Nice. So listeners, just to let you know, the see you next Thursday word drawn and doodled in a very graphic red and orange way. Won't say the word. We do swear in this podcast, but trying to navigate around that. So that was something that's made you angry in the last 2 weeks ago. And I guess you've already shared some of this. One of the questions we like to ask is, like, what's one of your earliest memories of getting angry or being angry? And if you haven't already mentioned it, because you've mentioned a few things, but is there anything in particular that you're kind of like, what was I?
I remember, like, obviously I didn't realize, like, when obviously understandably after the aftermath of my brother dying, I remember at school I came back and it Naturally, because everyone had to find out that I was off for a few weeks because my brother died, everyone naturally became my best friend, who didn't want anything to do with me or didn't even know I existed.
Yeah.
And then it was that. And then I made a, so I can't even remember what the joke was. I made a joke about something and they sort of kind of ripped, like went back to normal and ripped into me. And I remember getting really pissed off, and a little fisticuffs might have happened. And it was just like, to this day, I wish I didn't, not, the joke was bad taste. I can't remember what it was. I just remember it was bad taste. But like, cut a boy some slack. He's going through a rather life-changing event.
But it's also kind of like, it's that fakeism of people being befriending people, sometimes, or be giving charity to people by being someone's friend, almost to be seen as a good person, as opposed, so it's more in it for them as opposed to actually caring. In that, in, it could be in that scenario, which is obviously a difficult thing to deal with.
Yeah, my popularity lasted about, I think it was 3 weeks.
Yeah,
it's the most popular I've ever been. I was the popular kid at school.
All right, we're just going to take a break now before we move into more recent news. We're going to hear what Phil's angry in the news at this week. We'll be back after this. So, sorry to interrupt the fantastic conversation that you're hearing, but I'm going to do some shameless promotion about my website and my work. If you go to www.nickmorgan.uk, you will find pages offering support services for men's mental health, suicide, and young people's services that are useful across the UK and some beyond. You'll also find on that page my own blog, my links to my socials, and my feeds around Angry Little Welshman, where I talk about my own lived experiences and how I manage life. And there's also other little bits on there, like my playlists. I'm a huge music fan, as you'll have told from this podcast, and you can check out all my playlists from Spotify via my website, where all my public playlists can be found. If you would like to get me involved in any pieces of work that you do, either as a speaker, a host, or trainer, then please do get in touch. I offer youth mental health first aid training specifically for young people. I offer one on managing mental health, as well as very specific youth focused suicide workshops on managing and suicide prevention. So please do get in touch. If not, please enjoy the rest of the podcast and take care. Welcome back. I'm here with Phil, the bearded twat. I almost called you bearded twat instead of Phil before the break. I noticed as well. I had to stop myself. If listeners listen carefully,
I never realised how fun it would be here to hear Phil, the bearded twat. It just sounds amazing because it's really like, out of context. Is, if someone cut in now, they'd be like, "What did he just call him?"
Well, that's the thing. Getting up some of your pages earlier, and I was trying to find your Instagram page, and so I just typed in bearded twat Instagram, thinking there's not going to be any other kind of users with that name, which there isn't, but it did bring up this post, this like it didn't bring you up to start with, it brought up a post of like, had like hashtag Shoreditch, hashtag bearded twat, hashtag roll up jeans, and there was a picture of this guy who, like a proper Shoreditch person, yeah, with a twirly mustache, beard, and wearing his jacket like a cape, you know, to help his not use all his buttons for the button step count. Anyway, so
I found it quite funny because obviously, for consistency reasons, obviously, I was trying to get my tagline to be exactly the same for Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and I found there was someone who uses the tagline on Twitter, the bearded twat. I'm like, really? And it was just a personal, it wasn't a blog or anything. And I'm like, fair enough, but really?
Message them, see if they can put another T in their name or something. So you can have the copyright.
I just put an underscore.
Onto our what can be a fun segment. What has made us angry in the news this week. So, Phil, what's made you angry in the news over the last 2 weeks?
So, it's obviously a bit of an ongoing thing, but it's this whole sort of thing in the news about the Downing Street party. Like, I'm a frontline member of staff, like, frontline worker, because I work it, like, I've worked in homes and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm like, mate, I'm cleaning my hands to not get COVID so I could go home, for, like, to my parents for Christmas, so my hands go crispy. And I've been trying to do my utmost best to make sure that the kids don't get it, I don't get it, I don't pass it on to my colleagues and stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously, I did also have COVID at the beginning of last year. And then these absolute tossers are like, oh, you're only allowed to do this, and this. And it's like, unless it's us, whoo. It's like, oh, fuck off.
I think that's absolutely something to be angry about. And it's not a surprise that
I'm not surprised though. Like, I had a suspicion at the beginning.
No, well, what makes me laugh about it all is the story. They did keep giving different stories. So they keep kind of saying, like, it wasn't a party, it was a meeting, I didn't realise there'd be wine. Oh, okay, there was wine. Reminds me, I don't know if listeners out there, depending on your age, and I don't know about you, Phil, have you seen, you watched The Vicar of Dibley?
Yeah, yeah.
Reminds you of that guy who used to keep going, yes, 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 no, 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 no. Like, you can't make up his mind, like, whether he was there or not. The next part before we go into our quickfire Angerji quiz is we give you a bit of spotlight, a bit of a moment to kind of promote whatever you want, really, and direct listeners to whatever you want and why they should go there, et cetera, et cetera. Phil, what would you like to promote? And
so obviously I have my own website which I upload my blogs to, which is www.thebeardedtwat.co.uk, which I upload my blogs on the first Saturday of every month at 12 GMT. I don't know why I chose that precise time, but it was fitting.
That's very nice.
I've read somewhere that if you had it at a set time, more people are meant to view it or something.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I haven't found that. I have Instagram, which is at the bearded twat, I believe. I'd have to look. I think it's at the bearded twat. Anyway.
Yeah, it is. At the _ bearded twat. I've got it up here.
Woohoo. Oh, yeah. And that's actually the same as my Twitter as well, I think. Oh, no, it's capital T. It's a capital first of each word for Twitter. Okay. And then Facebook, I think if you just put the bearded twat in, it comes up.
So why should people come and read your blog?
So my blog is about sort of my sort of things I've gone through and my sort of thoughts and sort of learnings from it and sort of things I've learned through therapy and sort of just through life that I think could potentially help people and sort of understand sort of like different terms I'd never realized. Like, not this, two blogs ago, I wrote one about called gaslighting, which many people don't actually know about. And I didn't know until I had therapy, which is basically someone who is causing you to be more sort of, which makes your mental health worse. They make sort of the like the moth to the flame almost. They're pushing you towards it, and it's a really cruel form of manipulation, which I think I personally, the more I think about it, think I was victim of to a group of friends that I are a reoccurring theme in my blogs about many different things that, like, they were at one point like my whole world, but the more I think about it, the more I think they didn't do me good. Yeah. And it's just sort of about sort of seeing if you can relate to what I've gone through and see if you can learn anything from it so you can actually help yourself and hopefully not stop the lows, because I don't believe in you should sort of, it's all, for me, it's all about accepting how you feel. Like, you can't deny you feel sad or angry, whatever. You have to say, yes, I feel angry, and that is an emotion, and you will go through it. But the important thing is not stopping. It's about how you're going to get to the point where you feel happy or your baseline again. But it's not about feeling guilty about being sad. Like, if you are, and that it sounds bad, but if you are a naturally sad person, if you're beating yourself up about it, you're going to make yourself worse. But if you try and look like, not if you try and make little positives throughout the day, like, oh yeah, yes, I am, I managed this today, or thing, or I just had a bed day today, like I just watched TV, yes, I did do that my day off, but actually I work 40 hours a week.
Yeah, exactly.
In an exhausting job, maybe I needed that. And when you do achieve something, like going out, not achieve, but when you actually go out and do stuff and sort of positive, it's making the most of it and not just going, eh.
Yeah. It's a really good point. I think I love your point about acceptance. Many people, and especially young people that I work with, sometimes, you know, are trying to be something else. And that's due to peer pressure, maybe. But I guess the sooner you can accept certain elements of yourself, the better you'll be. And also to accept that some days, yeah, like you say, I think it took me a long time to accept days where I ended up just sitting around watching TV in my pajamas. I used to get so angry at myself for doing that. I hadn't done stuff.
I've wasted the day.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas now I'm kind of like, yeah, like you say, I think that's a great thing. We work so many hours a week, do house jobs, blah, blah, blah. We're allowed a day or two here and there of just lounging about watching films, and we beat ourselves up too much for it.
There was a low moment, like a low time I had when I lived by myself, and it was like a bit like work was a bit crap.
Yeah.
Like I came home and someone went, oh, do you go out anywhere when you're at home? I go, yeah, I go to Morrison's.
Do you go on a Friday night as well? Just to like pretend, like get it living up.
It was whenever my day off was or I ran out of food.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I absolutely, yeah, thank you so much for sharing what you have today. And I highly recommend checking out Phil's blog, The Bearded Twat. The links to his platforms will be in the show notes. And yeah, they're really honest and kind of thought-provoking and gentle stories. I think I like the tone of them. And you can tell it's just your kind of thinking and your experience. For anyone who maybe is going through the same sorts of things and the same difficulties, that it's a nice read that helps you understand that you're not alone, and it's okay to not be okay.
So sort of my dream thing would be to create like a little community, so you can actually just like you discuss and people can actually talk to each other, like judge freaks. Like therapy is great and everything, but because of demand and everything,
yeah,
and unless you can go private, you can only have like you can have 6 sessions and you're cured.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be nice to have the community.
Yeah, I used to get those as well. Right, we've got to cure you in 6 sessions. You ready? Go. Going into the next one and nothing's changed. And you're like, I'm gonna get better. I've got to get better.
And then it's like, I'm happy today. Well, we've done it. I'm like,
yeah.
What? The worst feeling ever is walking out of therapy, I found. But yeah, I would love like one day to have like a community sort of like with people that share experiences and people can relate. And it's just that you don't have like, even if you like in like group therapy, you don't have to contribute. It's just reading it and just seeing like, obviously, because if I was the supreme controller, I would see all the stats and just seeing that people are visiting, and obviously there will be back and forth and stuff, but seeing that people are visiting and hopefully taking something from it. And even if it's just the I'm not alone, or someone else has gone through this and there is light at the end of the tunnel, or Phil's got a really weird way of dealing with stuff, like drawing elaborate swear words on paper, but that I might try that and it might work well for me.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. I mean, there is I think it's worth noting that depending on where you're living in the UK, everyone, and for yourself as well, Phil, there's 2 groups specifically for men that sound similar to what you're talking about that have just kind of started going. There's one called, I think it's called Andy's Man Club. and they started in Scotland, but they've got quite a few different
spots
around. And there's another one called, which I raised some money for doing a walk last year, called Who Men.
and they call them gyms for the mind. So they're a bit more arguably a bit more pretentious with it, but they do a similar sort of thing. I think is the idea of having group talks. They also do online ones on Monday nights as well. I'll share the details to the details can be found on my website, but I'll also share them with you, Phil, as well. Okay. So moving on, before we finish and hear what your song is, that what's the song that makes you think of, you know, when you're feeling angry, what song do you think of? Is it a slow one? Is it a fast one? Is it a loud one? We're going to do our quick fire Angerji quiz. Woo. Okay, so these are 8 quick fire questions, which you have been shown in advance. So there's no excuses for having to think. So we're going to go through them fairly quickly, and it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be the be all and end all answer. It's just what pops into your head in the moment. That's what provides the entertainment. Are you ready, Phil?
Oh yeah.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Is anger good or bad?
Bad.
Favorite angry scene from TV or movie?
I love it. I think it's angry, but it's Friends with Ross. It was on a break.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know the moments. Yeah, good call. Good call.
I've used that so many times at work.
Okay, next question. Give me an alternative word for angry.
Furious.
Furious, nice. Finish this sentence. When I'm angry, I...
swear a lot.
Who are you most angry at from history and why?
Hitler.
You're the second one to say that. Last thing you got angry about?
My sister. It happened today.
We've heard about that one, haven't we? Last thing you cried at?
Oh, God. I can't remember the name of the film, but there was this film I watched the other day that a pet died in it.
Okay, so let's go with a film where a pet dies in it. And last question, last time anger motivated you to do something good or positive, be it big?
Work, I got really angry, I can't remember, about a policy change or something, so I got a new job.
That's a fairly extreme in a positive change that anger's motivated you. That's it. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Phil. Yeah, you did well. You're the second person to say Hitler. I'm wondering if...
I panicked.
I wonder if that's going to become a theme. I might have to tweak that question.
Hysterical bad people. Too obvious. And then I went Hitler, and then just after I thought Stalin.
Yeah. Perhaps I'll put from popular culture. I'm curious what the film might have been. So, what sort of pet died? Was it a dog, a cat?
It was a dog, I believe. I generally can't remember what animal. I can't remember what film it was.
There's a lot of films with dogs. It's not that one that everyone cries about, is it?
It's not Marley and Me.
Yeah, okay.
I can't remember what it was. It was the sad thing is it was a rather, like, it wasn't even a main character dog.
Just some random
dog. If you want to make someone cry, you kill an animal.
I do think, I reckon that would probably get people crying more than a human character dying.
And if my fiance is watching, there's definitely something in my eye.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. Really enjoyed that.
I realised I said angry was bad. It's bad because of how you generally vent it, but it's good because it's an emotion.
Well, that's why we had a quick fire round. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's the point of this podcast, really. We explore anger in the sense of if you don't use it effectively, might do something stupid with it, and that's why it's about trying to turn that anger into a positive energy and create some anger-gy, which is what you did and maybe needed to move into get a new job. It can be a good motivator sometimes, as long as
I have to get to the point where I can't tolerate it anymore.
Yeah. But that's it. I think there's an element of if you're getting angry at the same thing a lot, why do something about it, isn't it? Do something constructive about it, not break things. Okay, Phil, that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been really nice chatting with you. This is episode 5, I think, now.
And of course, before we go, you get to pick the song that plays us out for today. So what is the song that you think of when you're feeling angry?
It's from a band called 3 Days Grace. And I'll be surprised if you haven't heard this one. It's I Hate Everything About You.
That does ring a bell and I can't remember why. So 3 Days Grace and I Hate Everything About You. Brilliant. Well, Phil, thank you very, very much. Take care. Have a lovely night.
Thank you for having me.
So that brings us to the close for episode 5. What a lovely chat that was, wasn't it? Really enjoyed chatting to Phil. I'm hoping to do something with him maybe later again in the year. Do check out his blogs. And yeah, that's it. It's really sunny here now, so I think the plan was potentially to have a barbecue today. Yeah, everyone loves a barbecue, which always boosts my mood. So please do check out my website though, www.nickmorgan.uk, or on my social media on Twitter and Instagram is Angry Little Welshman. And please do get in touch if you'd like to do some work together, collaborate together, or of course come on the podcast and share your input or insights or expertise on a particular topic around men's mental health and anger. Have a lovely rest of time till you hear from me again. I should really work on that sign out, shouldn't I? Anyway, stay healthy mentally. Bye.